We're up to Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Pasuk Chof Aleph continues, it goes back to the theme of the very beginning of the Perek. Yeshaya got diverted. When he started Perek Mem Aleph, he was speaking to the world, he was speaking to the Iyim. And there, the Mefarshim told us, Iyim refers simply means the islands, but it refers to the nations of the world. And he was telling them, I want to speak to you, I want to give you Musar. He didn't really at that point tell them the Musar was not clear at that point, but he said, Hacharishu Eli, silence. Quiet, no speaking, listen, and I have something to say to you, and after I'm finished speaking, if you have something to respond, speak up. Refresh yourselves, be revigorated, and present any argument you have to me. And the basic theme at that point, the Lili Perek was, Hashem says he wants to redeem his people, and by redeeming his people, that means that he will extract them from your nations, which will cause, obviously, if you just extract a nation from a country and those people control the economy or contribute very much to the economy, and the well-being of the nation is going to be some resistance. And here Yeshaya says, don't think for one moment that you're going to prevent me from accomplishing my goal of bringing back Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and you don't have the power to stop me, and if you have any arguments, put forth your arguments. Here he continues in that theme, and he says in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Karvu Rivchem Yemar Hashem, bring close your quarrel. If you have something to say, something to argue, a complaint against Klal Yisrael, a complaint against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, now is the time for you to present your arguments. Karvu, bring close, Rivchem, your quarrel, Yemar Hashem, so says Hashem. Hagishu Atzumo Seichem. This is a very beautiful word. Atzumo Seichem means the essence of your arguments. I don't want long drashas. I don't want long verbose.
Filibustering?
Exactly. Excellent term. I want just present the bullet points, your arguments. If you look at the Mitzudos, Atzumo Seichem, the essence, the bare bones, the essence of your arguments. Look at the Mitzudos, Tzion Pasuk Chof Aleph, in Toichan Hadavar, the essence of the matter, the Atzumoso, and it's another word for Tochan, its essence, its power. And if we look at the Mitzudos in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Hagishu Atzmus Seichem, Toichan Hatainos. The essence of your arguments, the atzmus hadava, the essence of the matter.
The strong points.
The strong points of your argument. Yoimar Melech Yaakov, so says the Melech of Yaakov. That's a very unique expression. You don't have the word Melech Yaakov, you have Melech Yisrael. You have Melech Ha'olam, and here we have very, I think this is extremely unique, Melech Yaakov, the Melech of Yaakov, not the Melech of Yisrael, because I hear it appears that Yaakov always refers to the time of Klai Yisrael and Golus, Yisrael refers to the time of the Gula, and here we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu this title of Melech Yaakov when he is listening to the arguments of the nations of the world. Pasuk HaBeis, Yagishu, come close, there's a lot of repetition, Yagishu, come close, Yagidu Lonu, and tell us, Eis Asher Tikrena. Here is where he begins his message. He's presenting a challenge to the nations of the world. Now, it makes logical sense if we put ourselves in the time of Yeshaya, where there were many false prophets. There were false prophets among the Jews, that we know very well, and there were false prophets, it appears, among the nations of the world. There were lunatics out there that were telling people what's going to be, and giving people advice based upon what they see in the stars and their communication with the dead. And he tells them, you're all a bunch of liars, you're all a bunch of fakers, and I challenge you to predict a future event. That's the essence of the remainder of this parak. If you say in the name of your gods that you are, things will happen, and then your beliefs are true, and we are lost, hopeless people, really? I have predicted things that have come true. And I will now predict things that will happen in 200 years from now. And in 200 years from now, longer after I'm gone, you'll see that all come true. You phonies, you fakers, you can't even predict what's going to be tomorrow. And that's what he challenges them to say. And he says, in the past, has there ever been a prophet in the past, a non-Jewish prophet, a believer in false gods, that has said something which has come true? If something has come true, then you know, then we'll take you seriously. We'll consider your arguments and we'll have a debate. But if you have no legitimacy, you cannot establish your credentials, then get out of here. Don't waste our time. That's what he says. Yagish Kamplos, Yagidu Lanu Esasher Tikrin. Tell us what will happen. We want to hear from you, prophets of the nations of the world, what will occur in the future. Harushayna Ismohena. Tell us, was there any time where you told us something, or you showed us in the past, what happened, according to the Mitzudos, it's very similar. Rishonis Mohena, tell us about the past. Tell us what occurred at the time of Maise Bereishis. Let's see if we have the Mitzudos, Rishonis Mohena. Yoimru moho yokoidem briyas haaretz. Tell us things that happened before the world was created. Let's look at Rashi. Rishonis, Rishonis, shohoyu koidem briyas oilam, vialmo nivra mohena. Svar Machem, other svar me oy rose she skilu kvar ma yehe b'soifan. According to the Rashi, it's Rashi's first interpretation is like the Mitzudos. Tell us about things. Tell us secrets about the world that existed before the world was created. Let's see your knowledge. A prophet is telling us something interesting. Prophecy is not only the future. Prophecy reveals things about the past that were unknown. Yeah. I don't know. It appears if he's making this challenge, it appears yes.
I don't see how he could.
Why is he?
Why is he engaging them? I don't know.
Navi Shekhar, everything Golnish. He knows his phone. What is he wasting his time
that's
with
the
them?
People's benefit? But
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
But how could he have knowledge of things before? A Navi can only have knowledge of things that he is capable of experiencing.
By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as future and past. It's all one and the same. A prophet relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to say, I hear what you're saying. We generally assume that a prophet that speaks about the future. But we have to understand that there's a possibility that when a prophet is coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's entering a new realm, a new world. And in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, time is all one and the same. This is something which a human being has no understanding of. We live in a world where we're material creatures. Everything is linear. There's a past, a present, and a future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one and the same. A Navi is coming to enter to, in a certain minor degree, that world.
Not prophecy about Olam Haba, something which he has no relationship.
Well, we have prophecy by Yimos HaMashiach. Yimos HaMashiach, but we have Yeshaya is full of prophecies about Yimos HaMashiach. Trey also is full of prophecies about Yimos HaMashiach. And the Yechezkel, the Bayish Lishi.
And we're this still is confused as to how.
Absolutely, because we don't know the interpretation. Okay. We don't know the interpretation of these prophecies, but they are saying things which could be, they also don't know what they're saying. They are seeing things which require clarification, but in those words are hidden messages and things about a world that we are not familiar with.
Maybe that's why Rashi has a fallback position.
Yes. Oh, well, this is from Achim, so I'm not exactly even sure where this comes from. We have to know who authored it. A lot of the Rashis in the Neviim are very. There's a lot of questions of who edited the Rashis, and even Daniel. I think I'm not even exactly sure. Ezra, Nehemiah. There are certain sections of Nach where we even question if Rashi himself even actually wrote those sections of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, whatever. I'm not exactly sure of those matters. But here, Rashi's first interpretation does say something which is fascinating. Show you koydim b'riyas ha'olam, v'almo nivra mo heina, and upon what foundation was the world built? I mean, what do those words mean? I have no idea. But one thing you do see from Rashi is that he's challenging the prophets to tell us something about before the world was created, teaching us that prophecy is not just forward, prophecy works backwards. The second interpretation of Rashi in the parentheses is telling us, tell us about things, how he's showing us things that have started now. There are things that are in the process. Events have begun to unfold. We see new governments, new nations are rising. Things are happening. A new king was appointed. A new leader was elected. What's going to be the end result? This is not such a great challenge. Yeshaya, we'll see in a few moments, when he predicts things, he tells about Koresh. Koresh is going to be a leader after a leader. At this point in time, Yeshaya is talking in the lifetime, seemingly, of Ashur, Melech Ashur, or at least right after the fall of Melech Ashur. Bavel has not yet come to power. And we're going to see in a few moments, he's going to give a long prophecy about Koresh. Koresh will come and conquer, will come after Modai conquers Bavel. First, Bavel has to rise to power. Bavel has to conquer the world, has to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and then Bavel will exist for 70 years, and then Modai will conquer Bavel, and then Paras, under the leadership of Koresh, will take over. Okay, a seemingly a peaceful transfer of power between Modai and Koresh. There was some type of arrangement which we know never really worked out. But Koresh will somehow overcome Modai, Paras, and then Koresh will be the world leader and will give permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Yeshaya is telling us things which have not even begun to blossom, about events which are so far in the future, there's no way a human being can even begin to have any knowledge of these events. And Yeshaya is challenging the false prophets. I'm not asking you, putting you up to such a challenge to tell me about what's going to be in 200 years from now, more, 300 years from now. I want to ask something very simple. Tell me about what's going to be the end of something that is in play. Who's going to win the election? There are two different candidates. Who's going to win? It shouldn't be such a great haul. If you're not a prophet, you're just a wise man and you have background, so you can figure out. There are the red states, there are the blue states, and there are certain statistics, certain trends, and there are certain demographics. And there are certain policies, and you could look at the world economy, you can see where things are heading. So if you're a very, very wise man, you can probably predict with 95% accuracy who's going to win the election. And you don't have to be a prophet. You can just be a smart guy that has the tools, the background, to know how to figure out these things. And if you're a prophet, al achas kama v'kama. It should be child play for you to figure out what's going to be in 6 months from now, who's going to win the election. That is what it says over here, according to Rashi's second interpretation from Rishonos. So achayim meuros events shehischilu kivar, that have already begun to unfold, mo yehe b'soifan. Tell me what is the result? That is the challenge Yeshaya is presenting to the false prophets, according to Rashi's second interpretation, Harishonos Mohena. What are they? And again, according to Rashi's first interpretation, it's a much greater challenge. Go back to what happened before the world was created. Hagidu, speak up, tell us. Vinosimo libenu, we'll pay attention. If you can tell us something interesting, then we will pay it. We will We will apply ourselves. We will put our heart on the matter. V'neido acharison, and we'll know. We will know what will be the end. We will listen to what you tell us about these events that have begun to unfold. O habaos hishmi unu, or if you want, you really feel like you're up for the challenge, then tell us about events that have not yet begun to unfold. Tell us who's going to be the president after the next president. Right? That's a two-step process. So the Rishonos means tell us things, current events. And Haba'os Hishmi'unu, let us hear about events that will come in the more distant future, Rashi. Le'osid Yashmi'enu v'nireh im yiyeh bohem mamish she'yiskaimu divrayem. And then we will hear about things which will happen in the later future. Let's just give you a system of Mitzudos. O Haba'os Hishmianu, Hishmianu, Osanu, Esho Asidos Lavo. Simply, the Rashi of Mitzudos makes it much more simpler. Things that will occur in the distant future. Im Yidatem, if you do know these. So it's like a building up. First, tell us simple things, and then after, if you're so confident of the simple things, tell us about the more things in the more distant future, and then we will pay attention. Pasuk of Gimel. Yeah.
what was the purpose of all this? Yeshayahu is like, put up, he's telling them.
He's mocking them. He's mocking them. For us, in our day and age,
shut up first and then put up.
In our day and age, we don't do this. I mean, generally speaking, because we're not skilled.
We have our own problems.
We have our own internal problems. But today, unfortunately, we don't have. There are very few people that are skilled to debate non-Jews. Like you learn about the time of the Ramban. Right, the Ramban did great debates over the Talmud. These were great people. They knew how to debate with the Christians over religion, even though it was a foregone conclusion that the kings would anyway side with the Goyim, the Christians. What was one of the kings says, I never saw
somebody debate so well in the lost cause.
Something like that. Ramban, things like that. Okay, but yet Ramban went and he took the challenge because the Ramban was so eloquent. And was so powerful, his arguments were so strong, he did make an effect. There's no question that the people, the Goyim, the listeners who were present, were influenced. Okay, the anti-Semitism, and they had their own ideas, but he had a koyach. Unfortunately, you don't see that anymore today. Why don't we say more today? It's because we're not skilled. I don't think there are enough leaders that are knowledgeable in what we need to know to properly debate and come out ahead, even though they're going to decide against us, but there should be some influence, and that's why I think most people among leadership in Klai Yisrael feel the best thing is just disengage. Don't get involved, don't debate them, because you're going to lose. If you're not going to come out a smashing success, so what do you need it for? Anyway, they're not going to acknowledge that we won in anything that we do. But yet, if you can make a Kiddush Hashem and present your arguments, okay, there's something to that. But how many people are talented to do this? And once you let one person do it, another person does. Okay, so there are people that do this. I'm not saying you go on the talk show hosts and you go listen to the radio and you listen to here and there. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, yeah?
The truth is, the other side doesn't seem to have very many skilled people.
Okay, it depends. Everything depends. But Yeshayahu obviously was qualified. He was qualified, and here he does it, and then we have this elsewhere. He does it, he takes them to task, he says, come close, listen to me, I want to speak to you, I have something to say to you, and the whole world is listening, and he has influence, even though they reject what he says out of hand, but there's no question that his influence is there. And anyways, there's a classic question: what was the purpose of all of the Musar of Yeshayah and Yecheskel and Yirmiyah and the Treyasar? The Korban anyway came. What difference did it make? They made Litzanus. They told him they took Yirmiyah. They almost killed him. They tortured him. They pulled out his beard. They did to him these crazy things. They threw him into a dungeon. He barely survived. So what's the purpose of all this Nevuah, these prophecies? So the Farshim all answer that even though they ignored it and they mocked it and they didn't listen, it made an impression on them. And when they went into Golus, and when the Churban happened, and they were taken to Bavel, and they were sitting there in Bavel in chains and in dungeons, they began, the words of Yeshayah and Yirmiyah and Yecheskel began to sink in. And their hearts were softened, and because of the Musar that they've been hearing all of the years, that is what gave them the strength to do tshuva so that it would one day be a Bayis Sheni and be a Bayis Shlishi. So it wasn't for nothing. At the time, it was dismissed. But the words of the Nevi'im made a powerful roshim on Klal Yisrael. And it's the same thing here for the audience that's listening to this debate. And the Nevi'im, the false prophets, some of the false prophets were Jews. Probably the better ones were Jews. They had the background. And to some degree, he did make an impression upon them. Now let's go to Pasuk HaKalcha, who's a fascinating Pasuk. Pasuk HaGimel HaGidu HaOsios Le'achar. Tell us about the signs le'achar that will happen. It's a repetition that will happen le'achar in the distance. Tell me, give me a sign. Tell me, you don't want to tell me that maybe events are too complicated. You don't want to go tell me about who's going to be the new king, who's going to be the president after this president. Tell me about an earthquake. Tell me if there's going to be in 200 years, will there be any earthquakes? Will there be any tsunamis? Will there be any hurricanes? Tell me a sign. Maybe world dealing with human beings, that's too complicated. That's not predictable. But Teva, nature. Maybe you can predict something like that. He's going through different types of challenges for these prophets, false prophets. Hagidu ho'osios li'achar v'neida. And then if you tell me something which is true, you tell me what's going to be in 5 years, and there's going to be an earthquake in this country, you know, you obviously you have connections. If you have good connections, we'll take you seriously. Then we'll know. Ki Elokim atem, you are indeed an authority. I don't know if it's over here, if it's Lashon, if it's holy or it's not holy. It's ki Elohim atem, that you are an authority. You are people who have authority. Af teitivu v'sareu, and you have the knowledge. You have the ability. If you're like a god, if you can predict the future, then obviously you're a prophet. And if you're a prophet, you have the power to bring good and evil. Someone who you favor, you will bless. Someone who you disfavor, you'll curse, you'll bring harm. Because obviously, you are an Elohim. You are an authority. You know what's going to happen in the future. Avteitivu, you will bring good, v'sareyu. V'nishto'o means speak. Lashon of sipur devarim. You will speak, v'nire yachtav, so speak, and we will see together what will come to be. V'nishtav, it's over here in the Metzudas David, ha'osios la'achar, ha'bos b'achos ha'yamim, v'oz neidu asher Elohim atem, v'yavtuchlu lasos l'mitov ha'ra, if you are an authority, you are a power, you are like a god, you have the ability to do good and bad, v'nishtav, v'oz, and then you have established your credentials. Then we can have a good conversation. Oz nisaper ani v'atem v'nira yachtav ma'las sois v'olam, and then we can influence the world. We'll decide what to do in this world. V'omar b'yachlag v'hosul, and here Yeshaya, of course, is speaking in mockery that you are full of garbage. You don't even know. You don't even know if it's going to rain tomorrow. You can't even predict the weather. You're going to go tell me what's going to be over here in 10 years. You're going to predict the future. If you really predict the future, tell me. Give me a sign. Tell me about the past, the future, things unfolding a little bit later, further distance, natural events. And then you will have established your credentials. And then we can have a conversation about world events. And we can influence the world together. And
these were the before something, right?
Yes.
So what did they do? What were they predicting that was false? Obviously, Shai doesn't reference.
It seems that they had a koyach atuma. We have that by Bilam. They had koyach atuma. We don't know what these things are. They speak to the dead. They will communicate with the dead. The dead will tell them, would predict things in the future, that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. There was sorcery. We don't know what these things are.
Did it come true?
Sometimes, yes. Hashem obviously allowed them to have information to sway, to mislead people. This is the principle of zel umazel bor elokim. There always has to be a balance, the bechira chafshis. You always have to be able to choose between good and evil. If there's too much good, if all there were prophets, and prophets are predicting events in the future, then the whole world would be, there's no bechira. There's no free will. It's obvious. You have to be a fool not to follow the words of the prophets and believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to allow there to be the Sitra Achra, the Satan, the Koyachas of Tuma, these false prophets, also to predict things about the future, which also seemingly come true. But they're deriving their source of influence from impure sources. And now people don't know what to do. On the one hand, Yeshaya the Navi tells them to follow Hashem. On the other hand, there's this false prophet, which is deriving his source of prophecy from the source of Tumah, and he's saying things which are amazing, which seem to be true, and he's telling people to worship the sun, to worship the moon. There always has to be this balance between Toi Vera. And as we see, as the times passed, late in history, with the Nevi'im, it was no longer prophecy. Zelum HaZek L'Shvarach, who took away the power of the false prophets. Yet there was still a Baskol. There was still something called a voice came out of heaven. Kenega the Baskol, there was magic. There are different Sfarim which tell us all the parallels. Today, the reason why you don't hear about haunted houses, and you don't hear about, but these are like crazy stories. You don't hear about these things today, about magic and sorcery and people talking to the dead. You don't hear about this. Why don't you hear about these things today? It's because today, we don't have tzaddikim that match the level of tumah with the level of kedusha. If we had a level of kedusha, we would have. We would, then there would be a level of chachmah. It's getting about talking about even chachmah. Like go back years ago, the Talmidei Chachamim. They were incredible Talmidei. Go back even 50 years ago, they were incredible Talmidei Chachamim. Not to be believed what they knew. And zelu mazem in the secular world, they were Chachamim. They were scientists. They were philosophers. They were professors. They were incredible things in the secular world, and that presented a challenge to people. Where should we go? Should we go with the Torah and follow, devote our lives to Talmidei Chacham, or should we go with
Marx
to other people? I know someone.
Slupatka dropouts.
What?
They became Slupatka.
Yeah. There was always that. I know someone. He's a Haredi. use that term loosely. And he's a bucky muflug in American history. He knows American history like no one knows. There's no guy. There's no high school teacher out there, professor out there that can quote for you. A guy with a beard, a real heavy duty Haredi. And he teaches in high school. He's one of these high schools. And he also, after mastering American history, he mastered exactly in the Jewish world what was happening at that point in time. When the day that George Washington was elected president of the United States, what happened? What was happening in Vilna? Bidiyuk on that day. And what happened on Thomas Jefferson and this one, that one? Every major event in American history, significant event in American history, at that same point in time, who were the major players in Klal Yisrael? What were the major events that were shaping and directing Klal Yisrael? And hopefully he's going to publish something to show this exact theme, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down to this world a shefa of change, of kedusha, incredible things. And it goes both ways. It goes into the secular world and it goes into the Jewish world. And in the Jewish world, it's developed for purposes of kedusha. But zelu mazeh in the secular world, it's there are incredible things that are happening, and that is a challenge of. It's not necessarily a steer. Nothing wrong with the United States of America. It's not a koich atuma. It's not a. It's got. There's always a zeh lu mazeh borolukim in every stage in the history of Klal Yisrael. Does something go here? Do you want to say something?
Yeah. The more modern yeshiva high schools teach a history course. Exactly what you describe, what was happening in Vilna, what was happening in
the United States, right.
Or in the United
exactly,
States.
Exactly.
Complete parallel.
Right, exactly. And there's something to it. And that's a trend which goes from the entire history, from time in the Vim all the way down to Ahayom Hazeh.
Was Yeshaya trying to win the hearts and minds of the people of the generation?
Yes, definitely.
What proof is this? Tell me what happened in the past.
He's mocking them. That's what Rashi, that's what this is. It's a mockery. These are just words of mockery. He's just making lasanas. Tell us something. He's not saying this seriously. That's what Rashi. He just mocked. He has something to say, you false prophecy, full baloney.
Was it a serious competition to him?
It appears, yes, they were.
Well,
they were more influential than him, obviously. The Chorban happened, and most people were following the false prophets. We have been the Sefer Melachim non-stop. What's going on with that? People were sacrificing their children to idols. Unbelievable what you read about in the Sefer Melachim. They did, obviously. The Jewish prophets were mocked. They were tortured. They were ostracized, the Jewish prophets. Yeah.
He's telling them, don't listen to the media.
That's right.
To answer your question, though, about whether they were ever right, if they were never right, they would have no audience, they'd have no market.
Hashem gave them a koyach. Hashem gave them power to be right sometimes, and that was a very and their source of their source was not a holy source, and that's why it was a challenge. Now, there's something very interesting about this pasuk. This is a fascinating idea. I saw this in the Birur HaChassidus, and there's a lot of hidden meaning in what it says here. Hagidu. If you want to prove to us that you're a God, show us the letters. The letters. I translated for you the word. I translated the word for you. Ho-o-si-os means osumo, os and a mofes, a sign. An os is not the codes. Os and a mofes means a sign. there's going to be an earthquake, a hurricane, there's going to be an eclipse. An eclipse, that's a mathematical calculation, it's not necessarily mean anything. But there's a concept that I'm sure you all know, that with Aleph Beis, we go in order. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, right, we go in order. But in some of our Nusach Hatzila, we go backwards. Tashrak. Where do we go backwards? Dikanta Shavas. Ratzisa Karbonosecha. Tzivisa Perushecha. Where else do we go backwards? Okay, the different parts of Tzvila. There are different parts of Tzvila. Tal, right? Tal and Geshem. One of them goes up. I don't remember which one. One goes up the Alapes and one goes down, yeah, goes backwards.
Tal.
Okay, the difference between Tal and Geshem. Geshem, you're going up in the letters of the Alapes.
Yes, Tal.
Afberi. Down. Tal goes down. And Geshem goes up. Why is it that Chazal played around with the letters of the Alapes and sometimes they go up and sometimes they go down? So they explain, it's fascinating, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the letters of the Aleph Beis start with the letter Tav. The letter Tav is the first letter, the second letter is Shin, the third letter is Resh, the fourth letter is Kof, and so on and so forth. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, this world is a mirror, it's first in, first, last out. This world is a mirror image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created the world out of this old, you know, Kabbalistic inyanim, so they're just like a bare bones. He sent down the Tav to create the world. The world was created with the 22 letters of the, that's Pashut, right? That's a Kabbalistic basic Yisod in Kabbalah. The world was created with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Now what does that mean? No one knows what that means. But in our very limited understanding in just abstract terms, Hashem sent down, so you ask chocolate, I mean, Hashem sent down an Aleph, Hashem sent down a Beis, Hashem sent down a Gimel, and magic, somehow, Big Bang happened, and the world evolved, right? Something like that. No, if Hashem sent down the Tav, then the Shin, then the Resh, then the Kuf, and finally the last letter to come down is the Aleph. So when we look at the world, first in, last out. We are over here, we're down here on this world. So when we're looking at it, we're looking at the world after it was created, after all the letters already have arrived. Which one arrived first, arrived last? The Aleph. And we came even after the Aleph. The world, Bereishis, Baruch Elokim, Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaAretz, Lafi the Targum, in the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. We came afterwards. And when we come, everything's already... Then we look down. Oh, we have an Aleph. Underneath the Aleph is a Beis. Underneath the Beis is a Gimel. So from our perspective, it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. From Hashem's perspective, it's Tashrak. So by when you're dealing with the Oisios from Elokim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Le'achar. Le'achar, according to the simple interpretation of the Pasuk, means tell us a sign that's going to happen in 10 years, in the distant future. But here, it is a remez in this Pasuk to this idea, which Chazal took very seriously, and they formulated the tefillas with this message, is that letters by Elohim are le'achar, backwards. Achar also means the other side, backwards. And that's why when you're dealing with a tefillah, that is a tefillah from something which is from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's the letters of Tashrak. Tikanta Shabbos, Ritzisa Karbonosecha. Shabbos is spiritual. When we come Shabbos, we're going to Shemayim. We're guests in the Olam HaRuchni. And we're looking down in this world from a divine view, from a divine perspective. And when we look down at this world, this is Olam HaTeva. You got to work in this world. This world is you got to sweat, slave away. That's right, 6 days, Sheish Shes Yomim Tavot. We're a product of this world. Product of this world means Hashem sent down letters and we came afterwards. It's Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey. Shabbos. Shabbos is not practical. If you don't work, you starve. You have to prepare before Shabbos to experience the divine world of Shabbos. Shabbos, you're looking at this world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view. Oh, Hashem's point of view. It's Tashrak. Tikanta Shabbos Shotzisa Karbono Secha Tzivisa Perushecha. It's the letters walking Achor, the other way around. Tal. Okay, so you have to each tefillah you have to analyze. You're right; it's complicated. Each tefillah has, but this is a theme which I'm certain is expressed. We spoke about, when we did Sfiras Ayma, we spoke about this. The different madregas. You go up and you go down, and that's really what kadosh is. Kadosh is going up and going down. Up us going up to kadosh for coming down to us, and the two come together. That's what the three times we say kadosh. This is the theme. And Tal and Geshem. So Geshem is Gashmius. Geshem is Gashmius. So it's from our perspective, it's called Gashmi. That's what Geshem is all about. It's Gashmius. Gashmius. So we're going up. It's Aleph Beis Afbari. Dealing with Tal. Tal in the Olam HaKabbalah is a spiritual Tal Tchias HaMeisim. Tal is something which is very hard to put your finger on. Tal Yaros. Of cook, all of a sudden called Odot. Tal is something which is mystical. Mystical from the point of view, it's Tashrak. And all that idea is rooted heavily in this pasuk here. Shouldn't forget this pasuk, it was an incredible pasuk. Hagidu ho'osios le'ochar. If you can show me secrets showing me how the letters are backwards, Tashrak. Oh, then the Neda ki Elohim atem. Then we'll know that you're a divine creature. If you understand the backwards nature of the letters of the Aleph Beis, then we know we're in business. If you have no understanding of this concept, you're kul gashmi. You have no shaykhas to anything ruchni, and you're just full of baloney. So Yeshaya here is giving them a very deep Zohar in this pasuk. Okay, so we'll stop here. Pasuk Chaf Dalet.